The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. I wanted to talk about the electrical grid, because when it comes right down to it, electricity is civilization. There's been a lot of attack on this for a lot of time, and we have a lot of policy these days, especially from the state of Oregon, and also even national, federal policy, which seems to be doing everything possible to strangle the ability to have affordable energy to keep us going. This has been a big deal. We've been talking about this off and on for years. And, yeah, there's the smart meter agenda and various other things. But I have in the past tried to get people from Pacific Power, Pacific Corp, to come on. And they used to. They no longer do. Because I'm not really, I see through propaganda. I'll just kind of just keep it at that. It's like, you say one thing, it's like, okay, yeah, but what about, but this is what we have to, this is what we've told our shareholders. This is what the PUC tells us we have to agree with. That's the world that we're in right now. Safe and effective for the power system, that kind of thing. Well, Brad Bennington, of course, a friend of the show, and going to be part of the, first we got to mention that the...
Southern Oregon Home Show.
This weekend.
Everything for your home and property, all in one place for 3 great days.
Yep, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Expo. That'll be great fun, and you'll be there. But you brought a friend of yours in, and we're just going to call him Mr. Z, although I don't think there's any reason for him to hide. We have a Mr. X, so now we have a Mr. Z here. And Mr. Z has more than 4 decades of experience at working for Pacific Power. And you're retired out of Pacific Power right now, Mr. Z?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background, your experience in these 43 years, because you're still in power, just in different ways, consulting and doing
I do a little consulting and a little side work right now, but I started out at the lowest form of life as a grunt on a line crew, and I progressed.
You were the Wichita lineman, in other words, right?
Yeah, the Wichita lineman was actually a telephone lineman. Okay. I'm a power guy. But over the years, I've served an apprenticeship, and then I worked in all forms of electrical distribution from underground to overhead to transmission. Okay. And over the years, all through Southern Oregon, Northern California, and Southern California, and a few other states.
All right. What has changed between when you were, a young pup early in the lineman world, and as time went on, as we started getting more into the decarbonization era of the grid, which is arguably where we are right now? That's the push, right?
Yeah, it is. We got to do this. We got to do that. And yet one of the things that have remained a constant is hydropower. It's cheap. It's non-carbon. It's a renewable resource. There's places in Southern Oregon where the water starts out on one end and it gets regenerated 6 or 7 times that same water. Now that's renewable energy.
Right. But on the other hand, that's not politically popular right now. It's been under attack. Hydro's been under attack for quite some time. We know that. But I just want to ask you, as someone who has done this, what are your concerns when you see what has been happening with the attack on certain forms of energy, the attack on base load forms of energy, stuff that's always there that you can call up at a moment's notice, let's say, and where the state and the governments want to take us here?
Well, electricity, you got to look at 3 things: generation, transmission, and distribution.
Right.
Where's this going to come from? How's it going to get there? And then how's it get distributed? The first thing is, let's look at generation. There's an increasing need for electricity, whether it be for new homes, getting away from gas, getting all electric homes, electric vehicles, whatever. We need more generation. At the same time, we're taking out dams. We're taking out efficient coal-fired plants. They just shut one down in New Hampshire, I think yesterday, maybe it's the end of this month, that fed almost 1 million homes because it was coal fire. Where's that electricity going to come from?
We're told, though, that this will be from renewable forms, mostly wind and or solar, or a combination of the two. And a handful, and I suppose maybe some, if we must, some natural gas backup plants or peaker plants that might help. What do you think?
There's not enough land in Wyoming to put solar arrays out there to get. Solar panels are fine if you want them on your house or whatever, but they're inefficient, 20 to 30% efficient. When the sun's not shining, they don't work. Same with wind. Windmills work fine when the wind's blowing. When it's not, and I've seen hundreds of them, you get no power. And even if you can generate power, you don't really have a way to store it. Electricity gets used as soon as it's generated.
What do you see, then, as the role for these forms of energy, which appear to be going to be the main source? I mean, federal government's ready to auction off the, you know, the ocean, you know, rights to the ocean to be able to put windmills off the Oregon coast. And what do you envision as someone with 43 years in the power businesses? What is this going to do?
It's not going to work. We need, you mentioned earlier, a base load. So you have to have a generation that can maintain that base load, whether it's 1,000 megawatts or 10,000 megawatts of just base load. That's on all the time. Then during peak season, in the mornings, in the evenings, you can bring on different things. What's nice about hydro, they can ramp up for that or they can de-ramp fairly easy. Gas-fired plants, you can ramp up fairly easy and down. Same with nuclear. Oh, wait, I said nuclear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
we're not permitted to do that in Oregon right now, but I guess we're okay taking nuclear power if someone else generates it, I guess.
Yeah. You know, like the shutting down Boardman. Not being able to use that. That was a, I believe,
550 megawatts.
Yeah, that was a big mistake, shutting down Boardman up there. And at the same time, you have big tech companies that have these huge mega farms for data collection. Mm-hmm. And if you drive by any of those, they have their own transmission lines into them. But when those go down, there's one on I-84 at Boardman, and it has 23 huge cat generators out there, and they each have a 10,000-gallon diesel tank set next to them. It's incredible.
Yeah. The problem with that, though, Mr. Z, we'll refer to you this morning, 43-year guy of Pacific Power, is that most of us don't have those big cat generators by our house with a 10,000-gallon fuel tank. Right.
That is correct. So I have a generator at my house.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and then there's also a problem with workforce. We are severely understaffed.
Why don't you hold that thought here just for a moment, and we'll continue with, once again, Mr. Z, 43 years in the power generating and delivery and distribution, and kind of knows his stuff. I want to talk with him about that labor issue there, but also how, I guess, fragile or resilient is the grid? Maybe even the physical plant. Can we talk about that here?
Yeah.
Just a bit. We'll do that coming up.
American Wrencher Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Wrencher Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's. 499-6673. 499-6673. American Wrencher Garage. We stand behind every job we do with service you can trust.
The big 3-day meat sale is this Friday through Sunday at your local Ray's Food Place. Stock up your freezer with beef, chicken, and pork, including these specials. St. Helens ground beef, 73% lean, sold in a 3-pound roll, only $2.99 a pound. Whole boneless beef ribeye, just $7.99 a pound. Value pack boneless skinless chicken breast, $2.39 a pound. These and many other specials this Friday through Sunday at your local Ray's Food Place. Proud to be your local employee-owned grocery store. It's time to run to Ray's.
The People's Commissioner. Hi, this is Ron Smith, candidate for Josephine County Commissioner. So why do I say the People's Commissioner? Here's five good reasons. One, I've worked on the people's side of government over 20 years, defending our property rights, our liberties, and our freedoms from government overreach and intrusion. Two, because when you elect me, you'll get a man of integrity who will honestly listen and hear your concerns. I will never forget I work for and serve the people. Three, I'm a team player on the people's team. I'm not a politician. I'm just like you, believing in lower taxes, financial responsible, and transparent government. 4. I have no hidden agendas. I will openly work to see the people's will expressed through county government to be your voice inside government. 5. As a conservative, I am done letting politicians waste our tax dollars on nonsense while we're robbed by drifters, choked by smoke, and gouged by outrageous housing costs. Learn more at VoteRonSmith.com. Paid for by citizens to elect Ron Smith commissioner.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
I have Mr. Z in studio along with Brad Bennington. We're talking about availability, the generating capacity of the grid, and his 43 years of working for Pacific Corp. Interesting that I was just reading this morning that Pacific Corp's being sued for $30 billion, I think, is the latest lawsuit up in Multnomah County, because it's always their fault when there's a wildfire. And I'm sure this will also keep our electricity rates low. There's not going to be any a problem with that.
Oh yeah.
And even next year, if they get their rate hikes, it'll be close to 20 cents a kilowatt hour. And you know something, Mr. Z, we're always told, but that's okay. We're still better than California. Yeah. So I guess California.
That might be changing.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking though about about baseload. We're looking at the generating side of it first here, and then you brought up something about this is something which affects the distribution side of things, and that is the labor shortage. What condition is the grid in the Northwest here, the power grid itself?
Right within the cities, I believe it's okay, but anytime you hit the city limits, it starts getting sketchy. And our transmission lines run through all that stuff out in the middle of nowhere, up and over hill and dale.
Yeah.
And so we're subject to all kinds of things. Regular maintenance, getting to be able to do regular maintenance. You're subject to all kinds of natural disasters, whether it's a windstorm, fires, let's admit it, they happen, various things. Also, stupid people doing things mm-hmm. that they shouldn't be doing. All those things affect the reliability of that. I still see places in Southern Oregon that I helped build 40 years ago, and they're still working, but the poles are 40 years old.
So we have electrical wires running through the forest and through the woods and
Absolutely.
Through the rural areas. 40 plus years old, you built them?
Yes.
And they haven't been rebuilt?
No.
Wow.
And I worked on stuff on the North Umpqua River that was built when the North Umpqua system was built back in the 40s and 50s, and it's still there. Same wire, some of it's built on tree lines, some of it's on old wooden poles, some of it's been replaced.
When you say tree lines, you're using a tree?
Yes,
to hold
a live tree, and you put a cross arm on it, and you have wires on it.
Oh, okay. See, these are the sort of things I don't see. You know, I guess I haven't gone hiking in the right place here, though. And why is it that we have not been, in your opinion, investing in keeping this stuff up? I mean, I'm sure that Pacific Corps is going to have excuses when they're defending this, but is this a public utility commission thing? Because I've often said that nothing happens until the PUC okays it and or mandates it.
Some of it could be that. Built into the rate system is money to do maintenance. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's the easiest place to raid is the maintenance money if you're having to do new revenue. Mm. And a lot of times the maintenance gets put off from time to time. It gets put off. And so then it falls behind. And then with the lack of personnel that are trained to do that, you just can't hire somebody off the street. It's a 3 to 4 year apprenticeship to be able to become a journeyman lineman and go out and work on those lines by yourself.
Boy, that's like a college education.
It is absolutely a college education.
Okay. What is the, is there a cycle in your years, 43 years with Pacific Power, Is there a replacement schedule in which you take those 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old lines in some cases and just replace them? Because in the real world of a private industry, we would be looking at that and saying, hey, at some point they have served well, they're weathered, they've had heating and cooling and expansion, and things are going to get worse just with age.
We look at the poles that way. They're inspected every year or every other year. The poles that need maintenance get that. But generally, the wire and the facilities on the poles, insulators, transformers, capacitor banks, switches, those things, if it's working, you don't fix it.
Really? Okay, so you just keep it going until if it catches on fire, then we'll take a look.
We'll replace the whole thing. Or if a car crashes through there, we'll replace the whole thing.
Is that unusual in the power industry? Is that just kind of the way it is?
No, that's the way it is. That's pretty standard.
Okay, so capital expenditure is relatively small then, or maybe it's huge, but
it's huge because you've got all these huge subdivisions going in. You have to have a new substation for this. You have to do all that. Mm-hmm. And if you have a line that feeds 20 miles up Dead Indian Road and up and over the hill and do other things, if it's working, that's what you do. You just leave it working.
So you think about this, Mr. Z. You have the addition of solar and wind supposedly going to power most of the grid. We're going to try to dial back on hydro, even though that's good, steady power. Natural gas, that's carbon. You know, we can't do this. Coal, even worse carbon. That's evil. That's like satanic carbon, you know, even though a lot of that's been coming out of Wyoming here into southern Oregon for quite some time. And you run it through a 70 to 80 to 90, really old wires and equipment there, all right? That doesn't sound like it's going to be a real resilient time.
That's an interesting question. Electricity is electricity.
Right.
Doesn't matter where it comes from. As these lines age, it's just like our bodies. We age, things don't start working so good, and we have to go out and replace connectors on there where these two lines are joined together, at switches, at corners, different things that we do, you have to replace those. And we can go out through regular maintenance and inspections and identify those things. But quite often it's anywhere from 1 to 3 years before somebody gets back to actually do the maintenance unless it quits working, 100% failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be up to 3 years of maintenance.
In other words, you're always chasing chaos then as part of the repair world? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Stomping out fires.
Okay. So, Mr. Z, so what happens when you have a large-scale natural event that takes a substantial amount of the grid offline, and I know that you personally have worked on these, how many states do they have to recruit linemen from to repair these large-scale outages, and how long does it take to get the power back up?
When there's, let's look at Hurricane Katrina. They put a call out, and you'll get linemen coming from all over the country. I know of a Border Patrol agent that was up in Maine at the time when Katrina hit, and he stopped some three guys in a car, and they said, hey, what are you doing? Why are you coming in the U.S.? Oh, we're out of Nova Scotia, and we're headed to Hurricane Katrina in Texas. And he said, have a nice day. And so people come from all over the world, not the world, but all over the U.S.
and Canada.
A lot of
mutual aid then. That's
good.
It's
all mutual aid. I've worked on several storms in California, Washington, Utah. It's all mutual aid. And when a power company has a problem, let's say Southern California has a problem, they put a call out to everybody and say, I need crews for this, this, and this. And they put a call into Pacific and said, can you send us 6 crews today? Mm-hmm. And Pacific said, yeah, we'll send 6. And they said, we might need 6 more. But it's nothing to see independent contractors will send 200 crews down to an area.
Wow. What is driving the labor shortage, though? Is it just the same thing as everybody else within the trades? Or is there something else or something deeper or darker going on?
Perhaps a little bit of everything. First of all, to be a lineman, it's a hard physical job, and you have to be smart. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, high schools, vocational eds, let's do this, what do that. And I explain to them what my job is. And I tell them, but when the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's a driving rainstorm, snowstorm, or freezing, you have to get up out of bed, put your clothes on, and go to work. You cannot sit in your grandparents' basement and play on your video phone.
And that also means you can't schedule your avocado toast before you know.
You cannot.
Okay. Mm.
And
so, in other words, it's not as attractive in employment
And it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. I've had a lot of friends killed. I've had a lot of friends had arms and legs burned off as the result of making contact with something they shouldn't have.
It's a little hard to recruit then, sign up and lose an arm, that kind of thing. No, we don't want to do that. I'm not making light of it, but please understand it. But, so I guess in some respects, you're looking for smart people that, in the layman world and in keeping the grid, which is like this is civilization. You're trying to keep the grid going. You need smart people who are kind of type A, too, right? A little adrenaline junkie, a bit.
Type A is great because, first of all, you've got a problem up a 60-foot pole or 80-foot pole, so you have to strap your hooks on and your belt and climb up there and be able to work for several hours. I've been up poles 6-8 hours at a time before you come down. Or on transmission towers, they'll go anywhere from usually standards about 100, 120 feet to 700 feet. You look at the ones that cross the Columbia River, some of those are almost 700 feet tall.
Wow.
And you got to climb up there and do your work.
It's awesome to watch people do that. Of course, I'm watching broadcast tower climbers, and I'm just amazed how they do this kind of stuff. So we're running out of those kind of people, I guess, right?
Yes, we are. And they're being recruited, but right now, the last statistics that I saw, we are somewhere between 60 and 80,000 linemen short in the U.S. Mm-hmm. At one time in Medford, there was only about 15 to 18 linemen in Medford area that took care of most of Jackson County.
Do you know how many we have now? I'm just curious.
That work for Pacific Power, about the same thing. There might be 20, but there are a lot of contractors that come in here and work.
Okay.
So they're doing a lot of tree wire replacement. They're upgrading their system, especially in the local forests, doing these kinds of things, making it better, all driven by fires and lawsuits. So a lot of that's being replaced. But if you average them out, there's probably only about 20, maybe 25 now in the Jackson County area.
Dr. or Mr. Z, rather, is there? I'm going to touch the third rail or the live wire here, and I don't know. I could be completely off base. Is the business model of an investor-owned utility broken?
Compared to when I started, yes. When I started, a electric utility was more thought of as a service.
Right.
We have this utility. We're going to go out of our way. At one time, it was almost 20 to 1 that the power company would spend. You spend $1 to get a new line in, they'd spend 20. You spend $1,000, they'd put $20,000 to build electricity to your farm, to your ranch. Klamath Falls was a good example of it. Every year they were putting in 30, 40,000 horsepower worth of pumps everywhere. That was a big thing, and the company spent a lot of money. Then comes in Scottish Power, now Warren Buffett has it, doing this, and Warren Buffett makes money on everything. So now if you even want an estimator to come out and look at your project, you're going to pay up front before they come out to do that. And if you do the project, that money goes towards your project. They make money on everything. So it's no longer considered a service industry. It is a for-profit company.
And I'm big with for-profit industry. I get that. So I'm not knocking this, but I also want to be realistic and clear-eyed, though, is what the cost of that is when you're talking about what actually powers life, life on this planet. And this is it. And one of the things that has always differentiated us from the third world is that you look at the third world and you got people scampering up and down the poles and they're just, they're And you see the YouTube videos, right?
I've seen a lot of them. That'll scare me.
Yeah. And things that would never be tolerated here, that kind of thing. Are we going more third world realistically at the same time that the state is saying you're going to make everything electrical?
Well, Bill, here's a question I'd like to ask, and I think you would agree with it. Mr. Z, based on your 43 years of experience, is our power grid, our power distribution system, as you have experienced it, is it safe, is it stable, and is it sustainable, knowing that a lot of that infrastructure is over half a century old?
As far as being safe, we try to maintain as safe a quality, safe environment as possibly human possibly, because I've seen the results of accidents, all types of accidents mm-hmm. involving electric. As far as reliable, I don't think it's as reliable as it is now as when I started. And
Northwest Power Council would agree with you. They've already estimated that because of the instability of the grid, because of the intermittent power sources that they're trying to power it with now, that the odds of outages has gone way up, as contrasted with a few years ago. Not even talking about the problems with the infrastructure itself.
That's right. And, you know, we failed to mention another thing. There are people in the U.S. that want to create havoc and harm to us and take down industry or life as we know it, and our electrical grid is very susceptible to being terrorized. Is that the right word?
Well, yeah, I don't think so. So not sustainable at this point in time. Do the elites running the country understand this?
No.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, the current administration has no idea what goes on out here. If you want to know what goes on out in the field with any industry, you find the lowest level person there. They know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So should we be reversing course at this point, this whole idea we're going to decarbonize and we're going to run transportation on the grid too? You know, if you were waving the magic wand, I'm just talking about, you know, you're looking at, you know what shape the infrastructure is in. And by the way, this is no criticism of the people who are working on these lines right now. I know that. I've talked with many of them. They're working their ass off. You know, when things go down, they're out there. They show up. I get it. Never criticizing about that.
That's a hard question that has a lot of different questions that can be answered. But yes, I think we should be reversing the course on things. We need to get our generation going again. We need to strengthen our transmission systems and, more importantly, the distribution situations. There's a lot of work there that could be done.
As bad as the generation could look, because we're closing things that work and replace it with things that work some, you know, part of the time. All right? That's essentially what we're doing. We take something that could work all the time before, and we replace it with, well, when the sun shines, we got power, and when the wind blows, we have power. In between, well, we hope we buy it from somewhere else.
Yeah,
that's really what we're doing,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And I guess as far as the distribution, isn't it just a few bullet holes away from taking us down hard with all these people crossing the border and everything else that we've heard?
Exactly.
I'm sorry to be a Debbie Doomer about
No. You're exactly right. You can take a few, put a few bullet holes in the right place, and you can cause a little bit of disruption to transformers, a few things, and it'll be an hour or two, a couple hours, you can do that. But if you know what you're doing, most people wouldn't do that. Terrorists would go after substations, after switch stations, and after generation, because these are huge transformers, the size of houses or half the size of a house, and there are not any replacements for those. So if those go down, you could have Medford in the dark for months, or half of Medford in the dark for months, or limited use.
So think about what Mr. Z just said, and here's the context for it. We're a few more years in the future. The progressive have been successful with getting rid of natural gas as a heating source. So we have millions of homes that are 100% dependent upon electricity, and now the electricity is no longer available. Now what do you have?
Chaos.
that would be one thing. You'd be
actually you would have a well, it's an existential threat, really, to society when you have those kind of things going on.
Well, and take electricity out of the situation. Now, what happens to your food supply? Mm-hmm. Everything that's on freezers, you either have to have a generator, or things start to thaw out.
Do you talk to policy people and try to get them to understand the extent of this? I know you're retired. You're still doing some work on the side in Wyoming and various other places.
But I work with a REA that I'm involved with, that I'm on.
What's an REA?
Rural Electric Association.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, I think they're a co-op because everybody in this co-op is a member, and we just had our annual meeting. And I asked some questions there, but I've also talked to the board several times, and I know all the linemen there. And I kind of get involved in some things that are going on. And so I'm able to talk to those people. I have talked to, in the past, I've talked with Cliff Bentz, and I've talked with our people in power over in Wyoming recently. Mm-hmm. And I've shared my thoughts and issues on there.
Do they understand that? Do they get it?
Some of them do. Majority of them don't. It's like, well, that's somebody else's problem.
In your opinion here, in your professional opinion, Mr. Z, 43 years in the power industry for Pacific Power, should we be working to decentralize? Or should we be looking to, in other words, generate more power closer to home rather than the big centralized command and control grid as it is currently constructed?
Yes and no. Yes, we should. Right down here in Ashland, we have the little Buckhorn Springs generator. We have several of those up the Rogue River, mm-hmm. up the North Umpqua. That's how all these came in the places. But then with, like, in Wyoming, they've had several huge coal fire plants and next to the coal fields, and they can generate bazillion megawatts of power out of there and ship it to where you need it.
Right.
That's more efficient. That's cost effective, but when those plants go down, you have to rely on the little ones. So you need a good mixture of both.
So what Mr. Z is talking about and what you've talked about is we used to have the reserve power that we used to look at as reserve power is what now is our primary power. So when we shut down that 550 megawatts at Boardman used to be the baseload generation. And then if we needed more power, we could buy it off the grid. We could buy it from Texas. We could buy it from Wyoming. We could buy it from wherever we need it. Well, now that Boardman's gone, what used to be our reserve supply is now our primary supply, and there's no reserve for the reserve.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was getting at here.
And these utilities or these generator operators know this, so they can dictate their price to us. Not we can buy a little bit to uh-huh. supplement our peak loads, but they can say, "Oh yeah, well we're going to raise their price a little bit because we know that they can't get it anywhere
else." Yeah, you have no choice.
That's right. Yeah. So if you want it, it's just double is all.
Uh-huh. Okay. So this overall 50% power rate increase that we'll see if the latest tariff ends up going through that they're talking about, because they did about, 13, 15% last year, mm-hmm. be another 20, 22% next year, and who knows what's coming after that. I guess this is just like when former President Obama was saying the price of electricity will needlessly have to triple in price.
Yeah, that's one of the few things I agreed with him.
Because of the policy here.
Because of the policy.
All right. Is anybody doing it better, though, than us in the United States? Or maybe it's just different regions of the United States?
I think it's different regions that do a little bit better. They're doing it better. Pacific Corp has always done a pretty good job to keep their prices down.
I know.
Over the years. It's supplemented by hydro, this, that, and the other. But regulatory people that have nothing to do with the business say, you need to get rid of this, you need to do that. And so that raises the price up. And Pacific Corp has always done a good job to provide quality electricity at the lowest price that they can. Mm-hmm. They still make money. That's a investor thing. Ask Mr. Buffett about that. But they've always done a good job to do that. And there's a lot of outside regulations. I've lived in different parts of the country, and I always wish I had the rates that we had here in the Northwest.
But it looks like the rates in the Northwest are starting to change and change rapidly.
They're going to skyrocket. What a lot of people don't know, Bill, but you know, is that every single solar array and every single windmill that comes online is revenue negative. The only reason they get built is because of heavy subsidies. They're heavily subsidized, which means that's taxpayer money that's building them. And once they're online, the companies that own those assets sell that power to the grid at whatever it costs them, and the utility has to buy it at the price they say.
I was told the other day that net meter thing, it has ended, though. And which is why it's not such a good idea to actually get your own solar. Are you sure about that?
I'm talking about the big contractors.
The big contractors.
I'm talking about the solar farms, the windmills, and these very, very large-scale operations. They're bid on. A lot of these are done by out of country companies. They bid on these contracts to provide these, and then once they're up and running, the power utility has to buy power from them at whatever their cost of production is. Every single one of those solar farms, every single one of those windmills is revenue negative, and it is the public that is bearing the cost of the extra revenue it takes to run them. The most likely thing that's going to happen is within the next 3 to 5 years, we expect, when I say we, I mean people in our industry, in the construction industry, we think the cost of power could go up anywhere from three to five times within the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, going to keep an eye on this one. Thank you very much for that. You know what, Mr. Z, the more I've talked to you, the more I think I've kind of come to the conclusion that I better get a bigger generator. I'm thinking, would that be realistic?
You know, and the other question would be, I have a generator big enough to run all the essentials in my house. It's gas-fired. I really wish I had natural gas generators. So what kind do you get? Do you get propane? Do you get natural gas? Because
right.
That'll go. Can you get gasoline? It's just kind of a crapshoot, if I can say that, as to which one you get. But having your own generation would be recommendable, because you have a freezer full of food, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And when your power goes off, you have about 3 days at best to eat all that food if you don't open it up before it's all melted and gone. So if you have a small generator, big enough to run your refrigerator, run your freezer, and your heat source,
and you have two sticks to rub together for fire,
there you go.
Yeah, maybe you end up surviving. But remember, these are policy choices that have been made for you, all right? And we're going to continue to... I'd like to be able to call you every now and then, if you don't mind.
Please.
Okay, and we'll do this. Mr. Z. And we're just going to call him Mr. Z, the power guy. Okay, Brad, we appreciate you being on. I'm just turning into a pumpkin, okay? But good talk. It is 8:52.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and your ability to navigate in any weather conditions. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
So, I've been thinking about how nimble and responsive Fontana Roofing is.
And?
Humor me. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Picture, if you will, an unassuming but charming home pending for sale. Suddenly, the tenuous boundary between buyer and seller is a paper-thin, worn membrane of composite material. Beyond lies a harmonious transaction in ruin. Ladies and gentlemen, you make a tenuous phone call and enter the wondrous dimension of customer satisfaction. Next stop, the re-roof zone.
The re-roof zone? Why don't we just say that Fontana Roofing, thanks to their long employee retention, have experienced teams of expert, efficient roofers that are often able to react to our customers' unique situations and turn their jobs around fast without sacrificing quality.
Okay, but I kind of wanted to work in how we have the ability to bend the fabric of space and time.
Let's just let our customers assume that.
Fair enough.
If time is of the essence, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. Are you craving a tasty and satisfying lunch option? Look no further. Artisan Bakery Cafe is offering fresh salad wraps. Now you can turn any of their delicious salads, whether it's our fresh house salad, classic Caesar salad, or flavorful cranberry almond feta, into a scrumptious wrap. And that's not all. You can customize it with your choice of turkey, ham, roast beef, or chicken salad for that extra protein punch. Stop by today and enjoy indoor-outdoor seating across from Fred Meyer at 1325 Center Drive in Medford. That's Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
It's time for the 42nd Annual Southern Oregon Home Show. Anything and everything for your home and property. Coming this May 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the Jackson County Expo. Lots of exhibitors, talk to the experts face-to-face. If you want it, we've got it. Brought to you by the Builders Association Southern Oregon, providing education, advocacy, and policy support for the building industry in our community. See you at the Expo May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Learn more at our website, buildso.com.
Getting ready to refinance or sell your property? Once you get the process started, there'll be appraisals and inspections and, yes, well tests. So get ahead of the game and get your water tested now. You'll get the immediate peace of mind that comes with knowing what's in your water, plus you'll be able to close the deal faster. The team at Grants Pass Water Lab are ready to help. Look us up online at thewaterlab.com or gpwaterlab.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Well, Matt, that was a cheery Conspiracy Theory Thursday talk, talking to a guy that's been fixing and working in power lines and poles and transformers for 40-something years. That was something, wasn't it?
That was fantastic. I think a lot of your listeners probably know a little bit more about this topic than, you know, someone I'm been to at the store. Because, quite frankly, your listeners are a little more dialed in, right? They've got you on the air, and they read a lot, and they do a lot of their own research. So, but I know I learned a few things, and you kept mentioning the generator. That's come up, but, you know, to get the gasoline from a gas station, all those pumps run on electricity.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost, I don't know what sort of clearance you have to store gasoline in larger containers on your property. I'm sure farms have allotments for that or something, but that's tough. You know what the irony here is? As much as I don't like solar and wind for power grid, it's almost solar is your alternative if the grid goes down. You brought up late in the interview about, well, you guys talk about redundancy, and you also talk about, you know, power backup and other sort of things. Those are critical. I'm my whole life is about diversify. You have to diversify everything. Years and years ago when I bought life insurance, I didn't go in and buy a $1 million policy with one company. I used to sell insurance. I had four different policies for $250,000 each. And that's just what you have to do because, and you know what? I'm glad I did because when the financial crisis hit, you know, some insurance companies didn't get through that. People forget that insurance companies don't take premiums and stack them up in gold bars in a vault somewhere. They invest that money. They put it into real estate. They put it into the stock market, the bond market. And even though they write a contract that says, I guarantee you're going to get this amount, if the insurance company goes belly up, it doesn't matter what the contract says.
What you're bringing up here, when you talk about the diversification, you really make the good point. And even when we're talking about rooftop solar, because, you know, the thing is, everyone's trying to get you to go for rooftop solar, zero money in, right? You know, zero out of pocket, you know, those kind of things. In other words, you're going to be a mule to depend on Pacific Core or Pacific Power or whatever your power company is going to do to pay it off. Maybe the point to do is have your rooftop solar and maybe have wind if you have the type of property, but you're able to use it for yourself. In other words, we all become Dennis Linthicum, Dennis and Diane Linthicum out in, you know, Klamath County, how they, you know, they had to go off the grid because they had no choice. But for resiliency, maybe the real resiliency is finding a way to have those, you know, the backyard solar that we control and not the state or Pacific Power controls. Maybe that's where we have to be looking at here in the next few years. Just saying. All right.
Yeah, 100%. I think if you have the property and you have the means, you want to have some sort of a power backup, because a generator is great, but it's not going to last you forever. You have to keep putting gasoline or propane or natural gas in it. I just want to remind one thing before I go. Look what happened to Katrina.
Yeah, I just leave it at that. Hey, I'm out of time here, Matt, but thank you very much. We'll talk more on Find Your Phone Friday, okay? Appreciate the call, okay? Thanks.
This is Bicoastal Media's KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, and KCMD Grants Pass.
It's 9 o'clock at KMED.